Hello, Carolyn. How are you?
Good. Good to see you.
You too.
That's,
Oh.
I guess that's right. So the sun will set on you there, but it's still light
Yeah,
out.
it's just on its way down. It is so hot in the UK right now. Like we are getting a crazy heat wave. Yeah. We're usually just shrouded in cloud and rain, so it's nice. I've been outside pretty much 24/7, but yeah, it's a little spicy inside though. The problem is our houses are set up to keep the heat in, and now it's getting hotter and hotter each year. Our houses are just like ovens inside. So yeah, and I've got noisy neighbors, so I have to close the window every time just in case. So I've kind of like got myself in a bit of a hot box. Hence the cheeky unbuttoned shirt, but it's just to mitigate the heat, I promise. It's great to have you back on. And as we were saying before we got on record, we've both been having this kind of feeling that we want to get back into the consciousness side of this, the contact side of the UFO subject. Like you, I've kind of flitted between things that are important to me at the time. And I do like keeping up with what's going on with government. I like keeping up with all the ins and outs of where it might go with that. But I don't really personally feel like that's what drives my passion for the subject. For me, it's about the fact that my early introduction into this was all centered around consciousness and centered around the fact that contact is possible. And I know that you watched my presentation that I did the other day, and you wanted to kind of get into that and give your own thoughts on this. So thanks for joining me for another conversation on consciousness and contact.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me. Like I said, this is one of my favorite things to talk about. And it's such a huge area. You can go in so many different directions. So I feel like the number of conversations we could have are just as infinite as anything else. So
So have you been getting back into, because you said that you've kind of been going here and there with what you're looking at in this subject. So have you actually been getting back into doing these types of contact methods, and have you been having some successes?
I have. So, I'll say for me, I'm really finding a distinction between just like seeing UFOs and having a personal experience of it and with it. And so, for me, at this point, I've seen, I don't know, probably hundreds of UFOs, but many of those were just, I sort of felt like an observer. You just look up and I have night vision goggles and you can go to a place like Sedona and you're going to see stuff in the sky. But more and more, there's been more personal and meaningful and profound contacts that have been happening. And part of the reason I was so excited to come in and talk about it is because some of them are very recent. So just as a quick recap, so I had my first, what felt like really deliberate contact experience about 2 years ago in Cape Cod, and it was meaningful to me in a number of ways, but one of them was because I had been asking and I had really opened myself up, and I was about to go on this big road trip thinking that I'm going to go to all these UFO hotspots and special spiritual places, and that's where they'll come. And so the fact that they came to my home where I was before I had even left sort of sent me a message that, it's not really about the place, the physical location that you're at. And that's proven to be true because I've seen them, I've had these experiences now in Massachusetts, in Arizona, in California, in Portugal. So they're really happening all over. And you have to then sort of think the common denominator is me in all of that. So just talking a little bit about the contact methods, because I know people are interested in that. And I totally agree with all the things that you talked about in your video about sort of making yourself open, getting into this meditative state, approaching it for the state from a place of love and curiosity, and so forth, and bringing the consciousness to it. Because for me, it comes back to the idea that we're all multidimensional beings of frequency. And so, who we are is energy with consciousness, and we are constantly pulsing that energy out into the universe, into the field, into all that is, seeking resonance. And to me, that's really how these contact experiences are coming together. It's a reflection of the resonance that's happening. And so you can ask, like, what might be the basis of that resonance, of those energies coming together? And I think that's where it gets really exciting. But I'll just pause there for a minute. So there's more I could say on that, but just give you a chance to jump in.
No, I'm quite happy listening to you. But I guess if I was going to say something at the moment, I'd ask you, what do you personally feel is the purpose of the contact on behalf of whatever these intelligences are? What do you see the reason for it being?
Well, that's a big question. And I think, you know, that's something that everyone who has these experiences needs to answer for themselves. But for me personally, it feels like the development of a relationship, and the purpose of it and the meaning of it is to draw out of me a greater understanding of my own multidimensionality. And to help bring me along in my own expansion. You know, I've dedicated my life, it's sort of my passion. The expansion of consciousness is my passion, and just exploring all different ways. And so clearly, you know, things, beings, ships, objects from other dimensions is a very clear and expansive thing to have happen. So for me, I think part of the purpose is to get me thinking and bring me beyond the edge of my current understanding, to ask questions like, okay, what might be the basis of resonance that I'm having these experiences? And I think one of them is shared DNA. One of them could be just a recognition of the frequency. If we accept that they are here and they've been a part of our history, we recognize them, just as someone who like grew up by the ocean recognizes the scent of the sea. You know, it feels familiar. And I think a lot of them have the same kind of desire to interact with us as we do with them. You know, it's a lot of these feelings, I've left them the sense of homecoming. You know, and if we accept the idea that we are these multidimensional beings of frequency, that we are not just human, that we exist across all dimensions and in all planes, and we're constantly sending that pulsing that energy out into the universe and the field, we're going to get back a match. And so part of the reason I've been so moved by some of these experiences that I've had when they've shown up, when I've asked them to come, or just in ways to make themselves known, is because it feels so familiar. You know, and whether that is because there's an aspect of me or multiple aspects that, you know, exist in the Pleiades, that's having a Pleiadian experience or an Arcturian experience, or, you know, whatever it is, that's a connection that we have beyond Earth that we're able to bring into this dimension. So if I had to say it, like what I think is happening, it's, I think, evidence of the multidimensional nature of us and the relationship that so many of us, possibly all of us, have with other civilizations that have played an important role in Earth's development.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. A lot of the things that you mentioned were things that I tried to outline in my talk the other day, because this whole multi-dimensional aspect of the human being, you know, for some people, I guess that can sound a little like, oh, what do you really mean by that? But what I tried to describe, at least in my own words in my talk, was that you are literally on a electro-biochemical physiological level an energetic being. You have electric pulses that fire up and light up your neural system and your sensory system. You produce an incredibly strong electromagnetic field through your heart and through your brain. Your thoughts and your emotions and everything that causes energy in your body is resonated as some form of a signature, some form of a discharge in your electromagnetic field. This is all actual science. Like, so people need to like recognize that we're not just kind of talking about some airy fairy concept of like, oh, you know, you're this magical being of energy. I know you are a being of energy. Energy is what comprises your entire body. And the fact that you can move your awareness of energy into other aspects of the universe makes sense when you look at the fact that physicists are looking at the building blocks of reality and going, yeah, it's all strung together with energy. It seems to all be entangled with itself on this kind of vast network of electromagnetism and hard radiation. And so it's not a far out concept. It just sounds, I guess, a little jarring when someone just puts it into that plain label of you're like a multi-dimensional being. But really, I think it's kind of getting to that point now within science where they're going, yeah, the spiritual folks were right. We are right. A multi-dimensional being made of energy, and consciousness isn't restricted to the body. So I think that we're actually at a really interesting time where these things might be coming together, which is something I talk about a lot, the idea that spirit and science are coming together in some way. And obviously our technology is a lot further ahead, than our ethics and our morals, really, on a large scale. But I still genuinely feel like we might be nearing that point where people have to acknowledge that there is this real mystery to consciousness and to reality, and that there are intelligences out there that are legitimately responding to signals in consciousness, which to me is just kind of the most profound thing that you could imagine within the UFO subject, personally.
Absolutely. Yeah, they pick up on it. They are reading our frequency and they recognize where there's resonance. But I have kind of an interesting story that I think will illustrate some of what you were just saying.
Go ahead.
And it's actually not UFO related, but this was a couple months ago. I was online. There's in the US, there's this community message board called Nextdoor. I actually don't like it. It's kind of petty and things, but for whatever reason, I was on there and I read a post by this guy who was looking for help. He said, I just lost my leg. I live in a second story. I'm looking, is there anyone who is out there who can help me? I can pay you a little bit, but I'm struggling. And I read the whole thread and I was kind of like, oh man, that's a tough situation. But people had jumped in, you can go to this agency and that. So I read it and I was like, I don't think this is an opportunity for me to get involved. And so I'm just going to, move on. The next day, I'm not even in the town I live. I'm a town over and I was moving. And so the whole back of my car was filled with all my stuff. So I couldn't see out of the rearview window. I'm stopped at a red light and I get hit from behind. And, it was obviously fairly jarring. I look out the window and the guy's like, oh, I think everything's fine. You could just, I don't see any. And I was like, no. We're going to pull over. This has happened to me before. So we pull over and he's like, I'm really sorry. I just lost my leg yesterday or last week and I'm really struggling. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, is your name John? And did you post on Nextdoor last night? And he's like, yeah, that was me.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it goes, there's actually another step to that. So, we exchanged it amicably. It was like, I know if you're going through a hard time. So a few weeks later, I just decided to go for a walk and I'm walking. I go up the street and I pass by the hospital and I see someone whose like wheelchair has gone off the sidewalk. And so I go over to see if I can help. And it's that guy.
No way.
Yeah. And so my reflection, and so I was able to get him to his doctor's appointment. He was getting a new leg and everything. And but sort of what I took from that and my interpretation is it was basically, in reading his original post, he entered my consciousness. I had an awareness. I gave him, there was some emotion associated with it. He entered my consciousness. The next day, for whatever reason, he must have been in resonance with this coming together, but there was an opportunity, there was resonance between us, and a moment happened where our paths intersected. And sort of the profound, and then the interesting thing about that second event is I had told someone, now I'm a little nervous to have told this story, because what happened is I told someone this story. And then the next day is when I saw him in the wheelchair. So it's like I had reactivated him in my consciousness. And, I don't think it's like we don't have any divine path together. It's just that's the power of consciousness, that you can put something in your thought. And and bring it into being where there's resonance. And I guess the last thing I would say about it that was really meaningful for me, and I'll admit, when this happened, I was thrown for a loop. I was like, what the hell does this mean? You know, but it occurred to me that, you know, it wouldn't have mattered if I had taken 5 more minutes at my storage unit, or, you know, I was in the left lane, and then I immediately, I last minute changed to the right lane because I was going to go do a return. And it occurred to me, you know, that in a world where there really is no time, it's like that moment was always going to happen. And it wouldn't have mattered if I was in the left lane or I was in the right lane, or if I'd stayed 5 minutes longer. It's like, that's how powerful we are. And that's how this works. We have these perceptions of linear time, but it's actually, it's not that way. It's just, it's all the present moment. And then in that moment, everything like comes together to have it make sense for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the, almost like the wave photon collapsing down into a particle. Everything just is, it has to be this way for you to experience it. Right. I mean, we have to be operating, at least right now as a human being, in a linear environment that makes sense, and we move forward, and we, you know, I pick something up, I let go, it falls to the ground. These things make sense. Everything's rational and reasonable. That's the way it's supposed to be, so that you can navigate through a life, through what we call a human life. But then it's that recognition that underneath that physical layer is just, it's a whole other story. And I think that that's what I was saying before, is we're getting there. We're getting closer and closer, bit by bit. It's just that we are now in a period of human evolution where we feel we have to use really complex language, like, you know, the coherent entanglement of two quantum systems, instead of just saying, hey, we're all energy, it's all one, and everything's being expressed as a, you know, creative aspect of the one consciousness. Now it's, you know, quantum verbiage, and we have to try and break it down in that sense. But either way, it feels like we're getting there. It feels like that's where we're getting to. And this ties directly into contact. It ties directly into the idea that you can in some way produce a signal. And I do think that the majority of human beings are capable of this. I really don't think that this is something that's, you know, secluded to a small percentage of people. It's just whether or not you're open enough and you've gone through whatever life experience has opened your mind up to it. Because I do think you have to have your mind opened up to it. You know, for me, I was, I guess, in some ways fortunate, just because my path through life at that time had led me towards looking at consciousness anyway. And I've been kind of seeking answers. And then I was told about this idea of contact, but it was told to me at a time and in a way that felt like a very hard to dismiss answer that I was looking for in life. And so for me personally, it was quick. I felt like, yep, that makes sense to me, that tracks. I'm going to go out into my garden, I'm going to try doing this, because that actually feels like the answer of everything I've been culminating and bringing together through my research. So I understand that not everyone's going to have that type of path. And so for a lot of people who haven't had any sort of introduction to this, it's like, whoa, hold on a second, this is a lot for me to digest, which is why, again, I tried my best to just break it down in a way that made sense. I hope, you know, that was what I managed to do with the talk that I did on CE5, but you're never going to convince everyone. And I think that for me, it's always about trying to find, like, how can I explain a really, really crazy concept? Because it is a crazy concept. How do I explain something like this in a way that would translate to people that wouldn't normally believe in it? And that's a challenge, you know. That's the challenge for all of us, I think, who are engaged in this kind of stuff, is how do we widen the area of the interest, you know? And you have to find different ways of talking about it.
Well, yeah, and you know, to a large extent, talking is what we can do. It's obviously how we communicate. But for me, I'm really glad people are studying this at the scientific level. But for me, it's been all experiential. You know, it's like. Yeah. Humans learn through experience. And so that's why you just have to get out there, you know. And but I will say too, you know, it comes up, it's like, can anyone do this? Yes, I think so. But again, there is, you know, I've taken people out and who have wanted to have this kind of an experience. And sometimes, like, the, you know, we will see UFOs will show up and engage with us in a really personal way. And that's amazing. I've taken other people out and it hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Sometimes I feel like, and I can usually sometimes pick up, it's like the energy's off. Like when it doesn't happen, there's like either someone in the group who like is a little scared or thinks treats it like a joke, you know, or just like, just isn't there. So it's at the same time that I do think this experience is available to everyone. Again, this is, we are talking about energy and frequency, mm-hmm. and there has to be yeah. a match. And yeah. so if you're emitting sort of conflicting signals, you know, that could act as a barrier. Your intention is very powerful, I think, you know, and, but also coming back to the consciousness aspect, you know, some people say like, oh, you have this gift and this, it's like, I really don't. I've done a lot of work on myself, honestly, you know, it's like, this is kind of my life, you know, and I share it through being a coach and my website that I just started, Adventures in 5D, and my writing. Like I am constantly reflecting on the situations and the events in my life. You know, every day gives us an opportunity to expand our awakening and come into greater awareness. And that's my passion. So, you know, it doesn't make me better. Like I'm no better for any of these things, same as you for having these experiences and stuff, but it does mean that my frequency is different, you know, than somebody else, like somebody, same with yours. It's all different, but someone who's elevating in fear and control and worry, who's, you know, still really bought into old concepts, potentially closing themselves off.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I feel like everyone has the capability of doing this if they wanted to kind of follow that path, but I don't think everyone has to either. I don't think everyone has to do it. I don't even think I have to do it. I'm amazed that this is a real thing that is actually you're capable of as a human being. But I almost feel slightly like I'm satisfied. I've seen something too incredible to ignore, and it's made me realize that there's more to it. I do genuinely want to keep going with it, but to a certain extent, I'm kind of satisfied, you know. I feel like vindicated and validated, at least on a subjective level. It's just so hard to get evidence of it. That's one of the issues that I always find is poking its head up with the contact community and just the UFO community in general. Is, you know, how do you get a good image of this stuff? And I kind of feel like with contact, it's, at least for me, it's just the fact that if something does happen, it's either too quick, like boom, like a flash of light or something strange. And obviously it's just like, you know, you're not going to get that. Or it's just mind blowing. So you don't even think about using your phone. Right. You're just like, oh my God, you know, you're just staring at this thing and you can't even comprehend doing anything else. So I think people who haven't done this before and haven't seen those types of things, they don't understand just how much of your brain turns off when these things arrive. You know, I would like to get to a point where I was totally clear. And maybe this goes back to what you were saying about it feeling like a step-by-step process, like a progression. It almost does feel like they're trying to build you up to being able to face them properly without just, you know, your mind melting away.
Right.
And I mean, obviously I'm not at that stage yet because they just came down as little orbs of light. And it's like, you know, I think that's about as much as Jay can handle right now. So just give him some orbs of light and see how he does. So maybe I need to keep going at it because I do feel like it's a progression as well, like a step by step. And so you've had some recent ones. You want to talk about anything you've seen recently?
Yeah. So, I went to Portugal and, sort of on just a last minute, again, one of these things where all of us, there were all these synchronicities. I felt the need to go somewhere. And then all of a sudden it was like Portugal, 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 and everybody and retreat opened up. And so I just went.
Real quick, let me interject by just saying that my friends are moving to Portugal. I've met some people who are now living in Portugal and Portugal keeps coming up in my life. So I just wanted to let you know that that's a shared synchronicity for whatever reason.
I mean, it is an amazing place.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so it was actually once I was on my own again, I went to one of the many megaliths in ancient stone structures in Portugal, which I had no idea existed. But I was drawn to them on a map. And since I hadn't planned an itinerary, I just went. And there's one called the Almendres Cromley, I think, in the middle of the country that's 2,000 years older than Stonehenge, actually. It's quite impressive. And I thought, what a great place to maybe see if some UFOs want to come. And so I went there, and when I first got there, there was, I went, you know, at night by myself, it's kind of the middle of nowhere. I was thinking I would be alone, but there was actually a camper van there and a guy. And I was secretly a little relieved because I was like, all right, well, you always get a little nervous going out there, but there was a guy there and we ended up having a nice conversation. But then I think when he realized I wasn't going to have sex with him, he just left. So that was fine. And it was after he left that I was like, I was starting to get a little creeped out. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go. And then all of a sudden, the big part of that story is I was like, I'm going to go. You guys aren't showing up. And I was like, do you even hear me? You know, and I just kind of had this cry out of like, do you hear me? Except I didn't even say it out loud. Not that it matters. But and then all of a sudden, this bright golden light appeared in the sky. And I recognized it immediately. And again, that's part of how I know, like, I can tell, like, it's a feeling that gets activated.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. And it's also interesting, you know, this has happened to me multiple times, and it kind of draws to the consciousness aspect. It's like, you always, when they're there, you always know where to look.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're always at the, it's always the right moment. And it's kind of like I had a dog that if she needed to go out in the middle of the night, she didn't even need to touch me. She would just stare at me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'd wake up, and it's kind of the same thing. It's like, you just, all of a sudden you're looking. And it's
yeah.
Right,
there's
there.
Been loads of times where I've just literally looked up at a patch of dark sky, and then I'll literally see the orb come in through the dark. Like it appears as I stare at that particular space. And that happens too often to kind of dismiss it as well.
Right. So there was this bright golden light, and I watched it for a little bit, and I was like, all right, that's you and, or something. And I did film it for a little bit. So I have a YouTube channel. People can see the video there. It's Adventures in 5D.
I'll play it while we're talking. It'll be up.
Oh, cool. And, you know, it's a cell phone video, so I take it as it is.
It is what it is, yeah.
Yeah. But so I videoed it for about 30 seconds. But then to your point, I was like, this is too cool. I was like, I want to see this with my own eyes.
Exactly, yeah.
But it was in the sky for about 4 minutes, 5 minutes before it disappeared. And usually how I, aside from just that feeling I get.
Did it move, or was it just stationary?
Yeah. No, it moved across the sky until it just vanished. Mm. But usually how I can tell is it's, you know, 3, 4, 5, sometimes bigger than a planet, and it's much brighter. And when I, even through the cell phone, I can see it morphing, like the colors. And, so anyway, that was a really powerful experience. And when I got back, I looked at my video, got my laptop off, and sure enough, I saw like the morphing and the different colors and the energy field around the object. And that's how I've recognized it in the past. And that's when it started to occur to me of like, you know, maybe these aren't just like drop-ins or people, you know, coming down and just saying hi. Like, these might actually be related to one another. And also related to me. And so I started having those thoughts. And the next day I went out, the retreat I was at, part of it was like an opening to channel. And I'm a novice, you know, it's not like I being standing by, you know, flooding me with messages, but I said, you know, if they can hear me when I'm out in a field at night, like they can hear me then, they can hear me now. And I'd really like to hear them. And so I started trying to have a little bit more of a two-way conversation, and some words came through and some energy came through. And it kind of made me realize like these sightings that I've been having are evidence of a relationship. Like, not that it's necessarily the same beings or the same ship, though there are some similarities, but it's the same, there's something related or similar about it. And so the next night I was out where I was staying, there was a deck and a hot tub. And so I was out and I was just thinking about all this and looking off into the distance. And the same thing happened again. You know, I was talking to them and they came back, and I filmed them again a little bit and just watched, but it was the same sort of thing. So it just felt like, you know, I was asking, do you hear me? And the answer was yes. And it was like, do you know me? And the answer was yes. And then it was like, do I know you? And the answer was yes. And that really just changed my thinking of the whole thing, that I'm not just having sightings. I'm participating in a relationship that's unfolding in a really incredible way. And I'll just quickly go on to say that the last two or three weekends, one, I was in Lake Tahoe with some friends, and this might have been more of a passerby, but we saw some things and one powered up for us, which is really cool. And then last weekend, I was like, you know, I feel the call to go out. And mm-hmm. so I went out by myself and I set the intention. I brought my camcorder because I was like, you guys come now. I know that you come and I know that you hear me. And like, why would you not come? So I went out like an hour before dark and stayed for about an hour. So I was out there for 2 hours and I wasn't meditating. I was in conversation with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was working through stuff and I opened the dialogue and they came and it was the same thing. So it just, yeah, it blew my mind, but also not. It's like, this is the miraculous.
Yeah. You get weirdly used to it. You're just kind of like, oh, great. Like, you know, it's funny. Just kind of listening to you and I'm sitting here thinking about everything you're saying. And, it's hard not to go down the spiritual route with this type of stuff because it is just otherworldly and it does have that profound emotional impact on you of feeling like you're connecting with something that's far bigger than you are, but it's showing you that you're also powerful and a creative being that can reach out through consciousness. I mean, it's endearing. It brings you a lot of assurance of your position in the kind of universal hierarchy, that you've got things responding to you that are obviously able to just traverse space and time instantaneously through dimensional folds. I mean, maybe some of us are doing that in the Peruvian jungle, but there's not many of us that are sitting there and actually astrally traveling at will and just moving through time and space in that sense. So they're obviously in conscious development so much more sophisticated. I wonder if it just puts me in that space of going beyond UFOs and aliens from Zeta Reticuli and things like that, and makes me think, well, what is this? Is this a mechanic of the universe? Is this just a flash of light from the universe itself, just a manifestation of a conscious mind acknowledging another conscious mind? You know, I really wonder what it is, but I truly feel like its purpose is that it's giving you a little thumbs up when you're getting into the right mindset, and it's letting you know that this is actually what you should be doing. You should be moving your mind into these expanded states. You should be exploring it. And I find it interesting that it happens, like you said. There's different times that it happens for me, but there are moments that are exactly the same as yours where I'm literally just saying, can you hear me? Are you there? Like right now, can you hear me? Because I know that my thoughts are moving out. I know that they're going out of my body. Can anyone kind of hear this? That's something where I get a flash and something will come across the sky. And then other times where I'll just sit there, and it was the other day, actually, I've had a friend who's been coming over to do this stuff. He got really interested in it. He's skeptical, and he started off skeptical. And we went out a few times, and we went out into the fields around me at night. And, he saw some interesting things, flashes of light and a couple of white orbs that were coming across. And then it looked like they slowed down quite significantly. Yeah. We were both, it was so light that even I was like, oh, well, you know, it could be a satellite. We'll just keep, you know, we'll keep calm with it, and I'll try and remain as rational as I can for my friend here, because I you know, if it was on me on my own, I'd be like, hey. But right. I'm like, right, just keep it on the chill. But the next day we went, he was out with me, and we saw two white orbs. One came across the other, and then the other one stopped and then went backwards and then moved this way and then went back up and then faded away and vanished. And he was genuinely like gobsmacked by that, really didn't know how to respond to it. And then he wanted to do it again a few days later, and this was not that long ago. Started getting into it. And we were sitting there, and he had his back turned to where I was sitting down looking at the stars this side. He was sitting looking at me and looking this direction. And I just slipped into it very quickly as well. It just felt, for whatever reason, the vibe was right. And I just slipped into a really calm state. And I could just feel that my thoughts were like echoing. I could just feel this thought that they were just kind of resonating from me. And I was just explaining to the universe how I think it works. You know, I was just kind of like, you know, I think that these are the fundamentals of it, and that this and that and the other, and I believe this and this. And then I just saw, and it was a crystal clear night sky. I saw one orb, like a one light start turning on, basically. I saw this little pinprick of light and it started glowing. And then there was another one here and another one here, and they started glowing enough for me to go, hey, buddy, turn around. There's something going on here. Like, turn your seat around. And he looks over, and it literally, like, these three white lights, completely stationary, started glowing so much that they were as bright, I mean, brighter than the ISS. They yeah. were literally all three of them just like this. Cool. And then they moved off like this in different directions. One went off that way, one went off this way, one went off this way, very slowly, just kind of lazily broke the triangle formation. And then they just closed up and they faded out. And he was silent for 10 minutes, just sitting there like, I can't believe I just saw that. I can't believe I just saw that. And so it can happen for people that are skeptical, but yeah. you know, they have to be open enough to try it. Right. You know, that's what I was trying to explain in that video, was like, you can be skeptical. You should be skeptical approaching something like this, because it's a really out there idea if you haven't really digested some of the science and the esotericism behind it and the things that make sense. So if you're coming into it fresh, yeah, you should be skeptical, but you should be open-minded enough to realize that actually, when you get into the nitty-gritty of the quantum physics of it, it makes sense. It tracks as something that should be able to be done.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, that's a really cool experience. And yeah. I think more people are going to be coming into it. And, mm-hmm. you know, what it's like, part of what I like to think is just, what would the world be like if more people started questioning the nature of our reality and asking these kinds of questions? Because you're right, you can't have those experiences and not start asking. And, you know, from that, the answers come. Mm-hmm. I do feel like we're moving into a time where there are going to be more mass sightings.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I feel like disclosure is not in the hands of the government, you know, and part of our evolution as a species is coming into awareness of our multidimensionality. And this is just one of, like, a very exciting, tangible way that we can do that. Not to say it won't be, you know, a little messy and chaotic at times, but I feel like we're all kind of calling out for it in a sense.
And in our own ways, like, there's different avenues. This is one way in which this is starting to open up.
But I also, and I also feel like with your friend and other people I've been with who were maybe skeptical but open, there's something that clicks mm-hmm. in there. I mean, I can't speak to your friend, but I've seen there's something that clicks that's like a remembering.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, it's a familiarity. It's a knowing that of, like, of course we're not alone. Of course we're part of something, this vast web of existence that has other intelligences and life forms.
Yeah.
And it's sort of that light bulb, or just like, yeah, like something you always knew, but just had never really been relevant or, you know, pertinent before.
Yeah, this is it's funny. One of the people I love listening to, I'm sure you're familiar with, Terence McKenna.
Yeah, I not so much, but I know the name.
Not so much, but you know the name. Yeah. So he's like the patron saint of psychedelics. You know, he's the guy that has just done countless lectures on DMT and ayahuasca mm-hmm. and popularized them in the West, and was one of the first people to go out to the Peruvian jungles and you know, and try these things. And he was always talking about how the psychedelic space is one of these easily accessible spaces that provides you with this incredible knowledge and insight into reality, and that it can completely change someone's understanding of reality. Yeah. And, you know, he'd very excitedly talk about how, you know, most people are walking around completely unaware that just, you know, tucked around the behind their neural network is the, you know, the chance to explore dimensions. And he always looked at that as the highest echelon of our ability to peek into the mystery. And what I find really cool, and I wonder if he ever knew that this was something that people were doing, because it wasn't really as popular when he was alive, the fact that there's almost, in my opinion, a step up from that, because I truly believe psychedelics should be studied. And I think that there are profound mysteries about consciousness to be unlocked through the psychedelics. But I find it amazing that there is actually an opportunity for you to have that kind of experience, but it takes place in actual waking reality as it is so far. You don't have to take a psychedelic. You can get into a calm state of mind and you can have a visual experience of something anomalous and mysterious breaking into your reality. You know, you don't have to take ayahuasca for your reality to be changed. You can literally just do this. And so it's like almost like the next step of acknowledging that these things don't just exist in the strange spaces of the imagination or whatever the psychedelic realm is. It comes into this reality, you know, and that's what the reductionists and people in science who are very stuffy and dusty and haven't been able to move from the previous doctrine really struggle with. It's the fact that, oh wait, this stuff's meant to stay in the spiritual world. It shouldn't be coming into this material world and actually and presenting itself, but here it is. And so I feel like in a really simple way, the UFO subject in general is just, it, what it does is it literally destroys our faith in science. It destroys our faith in the principles that we've designed and built up and said, here, this is the model for how reality works. These are the laws of physics, and these are the understandings we've put down. And it just comes in, it sweeps through, and it just blows it all away and makes it redundant. And that, to me, is an inescapable challenge for the human species. Once it's becoming apparent that this is very real, science is going to have to take a step back and go, okay, it's time to really just reset the drawing board on this and go back to square one. We don't know anything. We don't know anything.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure that's part of the reason why disclosure hasn't happened, because there's a lot invested in maintaining those old systems and paradigms. But, you know, consciousness can't be stopped. And, you know, I believe that we are moving into the fifth dimension, and that we are being called to our consciousness and coming home to consciousness. And more people are, as this is how it happens, you know, starting with themselves. Mm-hmm. And so just for me, it's, you know, being able to have these multidimensional experiences is great, and I love it, and it's a big motivating factor for me. But, you know, really what consciousness has done for me is brought me peace, you know, and it's brought me happiness, because really what it is for me is it's a knowing, and it's an expansion of my awareness, and it's changed how I process information. Yeah. The meaning I give things, it allows me to absorb things in a different way, see from new angles and perspectives. It's changed my perception of the life that I'm having. And so things that used to throw me for a loop, or that I would be worried about or afraid about, really don't.
It allows you to handle that turbulence that you get in life. Like, you know, the unavoidable ups and downs. It can smooth the edges when you realize you're really in a mortal aspect of light. You know, it definitely helps.
Well, and it's like, I think this is kind of a trite example, but, you know, I had a friend whose daughter was out sick, and she missed an exam. And it was like, you know, the fact that she was going to do, she thought she was going to do poorly on this one exam, and that was going to like ruin the rest of her life, you know? And it's like, how do you tell someone, you know, who's 15 or whatever, of like, you know what, like, it's, this test is going to be what it is, and you'll go on to live a beautiful life no matter, you know, no matter what. But it's like that perspective, that we're able to elevate ourselves into, and starting to see that all the things that we conceive of as problems, really, or setbacks or things, are really just opportunities to change our perception.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'll just give a little plug for a moment here, but so that's really where I've shifted. I was in a corporate career, but where I've shifted into this work to align with my passions is through coaching. And I have a group practice circle that'll start in September where we're just going to get together as a group and learn how to apply higher consciousness, fifth dimensional thinking to different areas of our life so that we elevate our thinking and learn to practice it, because it's going back to something I said earlier. It's, you know, I've read tons of books and I had all the, you know, any number of things come into my brain, but until I had the opportunity to experience it for choice and to really process it through a real situation, the growth didn't happen. It was just an idea. And so in a sense, this is an idea, but what I'm hoping in this group is that we'll take real world situations and ask questions like, what's the highest perspective available to me? You know, how might I think about this if I didn't immediately fall into fear? You know, what's another way to interpret this in a way that I can grow from? And those sorts of things, as well as just the writing on my site. Just, it's embarrassing sometimes. I share a lot more about my personal life than I would expect to be comfortable with. But I also believe, and this is getting a little esoteric, but part of consciousness in the one mind is that we're not separate from the energy that sustains us. And all of those thoughts, they're not just being read by ETs, you know, they're out in the field for anyone to pick up on. And at higher dimensional civilizations, there really is no privacy of thought. And that's scary for some people, but that's where consciousness comes in, is to understand that you to have compassion. It's like, that's the kind of thought that you would have when you're exploring or dwelling at that frequency.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to kind of interrupt. Then I was just going to say, yeah, no, I think it's that whole idea of like, yeah, it sounds scary because we're vibratory on a lower dimension to these beings. I mean, yeah, because we have all sorts of ugly thoughts and things that we don't want people to think about. But if you've evolved to a point beyond those types of thoughts, because this is the thing, like, you know, we're balancing so much between people going, oh, this is just woo-woo spiritual stuff. And then science saying, actually, no, there's some compelling evidence for this. It's the same with thoughts on the cellular level. We now know that the thoughts that you have and the way in which it impacts you on a physiological level can lead towards illnesses. It can lead towards ailments. It can lead towards cancer development. It can lead towards all sorts of problems for you if you have negative thought patterns that are continuously bombarding you. And the same can be said on the inverse with positive thinking, is that it can actually increase and make you a healthier person physiologically. Yeah. So on that literal level, it is better to be thinking positively. And so it makes sense that on a much higher expression of you know, dimensional evolution, if that's what we're going through, that at a certain point you don't even have those types of things because your vibratory being is too sensitive to even let it go in. It's too damaging to even interact with that type of field, and we're still on a lower enough level for us to have those types of things coming in and out of our brain. Plus our society resonates it out continuously. Sure. You know, the news is just a fear machine, and politics and all of the wrongdoings and corruption in our world that's just continuously thrown at us. I mean, you can understand why some people would say it's some sort of major plan to keep us subjugated and to keep us repressed and to keep us from evolving properly in consciousness. But that's what I find really interesting about the time that we're living in right now, is there's this really weird duality going on, because the mainstream media will make you feel like the whole world is falling apart and that we're on the brink of absolute destruction. And yet all I see, if I don't tune into that bullshit, is people waking up and people talking about things that they've never been talking about before, and more people expanding their ideas of what reality might be, more people challenging the status quo of reality in all sorts of levels, from the society to the politics. And so for me, it's like, yeah, there is a genuine destruction. It's the destruction of the old archetype. It's the destruction of the old, outdated and inadequate system. And so there's going to be some turbulence. There's going to be some scary moments. There's going to be that. And they're going to make it look like it's the end of the world. But it's not. I think it is genuinely, without getting into some sort of prophecy style rhetoric, I truly feel like we're in some sort of awakening process, that we're coming into being, into a next evolutionary step. You could just see it as evolution. If you wanted to get into just the science of it, it could just be the next step of human evolution. And for us, because we're more complex than just a plant or a basic animal shuffling around, our way of seeing the next step of our evolution is us going, there is an awakening process. Our consciousness is awakening. And so for us, we're being driven to move forward. We're sentient. So we're aware that we're moving forward. And so for us, it's expressed in this whole idea of, in my intuition, I just feel like we're waking up. I feel like people are doing this, and it's being expressed on this planet. So yeah, we're in such an interesting time.
Yeah. No, I think we have an amazing future to look forward to. And I completely agree that it's the end times are here, but it's the end of the old. And we really are on the precipice of massive change. And I think things are shifting more quickly than we may even realize. And I think the ET part is going to be part of it. And I think that's coming soon in a big way. And I feel like the government now, with all this activity, they're kind of scrambling to make it look like they've got a handle on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they don't, and are going to try to, you know, get the scoop, which I don't think is going to happen. But yeah, I've seen people waking up, just people that I interact with. And I think it's good. And it's, because really consciousness is for those who are not willing to transform and are not willing to embrace a higher consciousness way of thinking, they're going to be ill prepared for these times. And I see a lot of people struggling to make sense of this. And just, you know, we probably all know people in our lives, and maybe yourself, not you, but like other people who are just
Struggling to make sense of everything. Don't worry. My goodness.
No, I know. It's like,
my goodness.
It's a tough time to be living in, and really, like, where I find solace is in its consciousness that has brought, again, has brought me that peace, and how I feel prepared for what's to come. Cause I unfortunately do feel like it's going to get a little messier and more chaotic and quote unquote worse before it gets better. But at this point, I've kind of just said, it's, you know, I know that I'm creating my reality, and I can create it in such a way that no matter what's going on in the outside world, I can have a beautiful, peaceful life. And, but also that it's like, I'm ready to do what it, you know, what needs to be done. And, you know, our biggest contribution for all of us, as we've talked about, we're pulsing that energy out. Like, you know, if you, sometimes I do this thought exercise, like, if it was my energy that everybody in the planet was going to feel, like, what would I want them to feel today? And if my energy is my contribution, which it is, like, what do I want to be sending out to the world? What do I want to contribute? And, you know, where can I support this process of awakening, which has really come to be the focus of my life at this point. Yeah. And, not just for the, you know, the benefit of humanity, but just for my own growth and expansion and excitement. And so the more you lean into this, as you know, just the more opens up, and like, there is no edge. It's like, there's infinite avenues and pathways we can go. And within each of us is just infinite potential. And so that's what really excites me about all of this.
Yeah, this is, well, I mean, this is why I do what I do as well. You know, at a certain point in my life, I just felt like I need to be expressing these thoughts and ideas. And maybe there's other people out there that feel the same way as me. And especially when I have my contact scenarios with the orange orbs, that was it. That was when I was like, I need to talk to people about this. And, you know, there'll be people listening who remember my platform when it was just that. It was literally me running off to the forest and putting a camera up on a branch and just like away from everyone who could hear me, you know what I mean? And being like, you can do this thing with your mind. And I look back on those videos and I mean, you know, as much as I was trying my best, I'm like, oh man, just like too frantic. And I've tried to like figure out the best ways through trial and error, you know, over the years of talking to people about this and being labeled as crazy and losing a couple of friends across the way. And, you know, that's just a way it goes with this kind of stuff. And you've been on a personal journey, but for them it's like a complete 180 degree turn in the way that you were viewing life. But like you said, it gives you that completely different perspective on not just wider reality but your own life. And I think right. when it comes down to just that basic understanding of consciousness being more than just a generated brain phenomenon, if we're going to say, and I think we're both on the same page here, that we truly believe consciousness is an awareness field within reality, and we're just kind of receptors and like little focalized receptors of that as a human form. When you have that type of understanding, and for me, it just came from click, 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 year by year by year by year, thing by thing, event by event, paying attention and going, oh, that's weird, and learning more and being open to it, and eventually getting to a point where I felt like this really is the way that I believe life works. When you have that, it does allow you, I guess, it gives you a wider perspective when it comes to dealing with trauma and pain and ups and downs yeah. in your own life. And, you know, I've gone through some difficult situations of late that, you know, with some friends. And it's funny how I look at it and I see it as such a necessary healing experience. But before, I know I would have not felt that way, you know, because... Right. You know, so a very good friend of mine who I'm no longer kind of speaking with, we had a bit of a disagreement. Hopefully we get back together and are talking again, but at the time being, it's you know, it's not happening. So that was very upsetting to me, but I realized that I was maybe not in the best relationship with that person at that time, that I was distracting myself from things that I was supposed to be doing, and that they were distracting themselves from things they were supposed to be doing, and we were maybe not feeding into each other's lives the way we should have. And I thought about it. I sat down and, you know, I was upset, but I thought about the situation and put the pieces together and realized actually this was maybe exactly what needed to happen for me to wake myself up and kind of be like, right, I need to focus, and for him to do the same thing. And I just feel like that kind of recognition of it being another click in the road has only come because I've had more of those clicks in the road beforehand. You know, I've paid attention and I've listened to life. And so if you have that realization that life is conscious and it's speaking to you, and that signs and events and people and places are all language, it's all ways in which this thing, this construct, is communicating with you. When you sit on your bed at night and you're going, oh, I wish this was happening, or this, that, and the other, pay attention to life and see what's actually moving around exactly. you. You know, if you don't, then you might miss it. And, you know, there's been loads of opportunities I'm sure I've just completely missed, and it's gone right by me, and the universe presented it and I just didn't see it. But over time, you get better at it. You get better at like observing it, you know, if you're paying attention.
Well, and it always comes back.
And it always comes, it always, yeah. always.
You're not going to miss a lesson. It'll find a new way to keep.
Yeah, yeah. You'll just, yeah. Keep trying yeah. new methods until the methods get really aggressive. And yeah. then you're like, oh, okay, I'm learning
right.
now.
Yeah,
I
got it. yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. And every day is full of so much data. I mean, in a sense, that's right, sort of how right. I think of consciousness. It's just, there's so much data going in and going out. And so like you, you know, if I had to say there was the single most thing responsible for how I've transformed in my life, it's being willing to examine myself. And, you know, anytime I feel a little off, you know, I have a feeling, I stop and I say, okay, you know, there's some sort of inner tension here. And that means I'm out of alignment. There's some belief that I'm holding that's out of alignment, or there's some invitation here to come into a deeper awareness or knowing or acceptance. And, you know, I work with it and I try to bring the highest perspective possible to it, and the greatest gentleness and compassion and self-love to that as possible. And that's really some of the process I take people through in my writings. Like, this happened and this is how I worked through it and what I took from it. But the relationship stuff in particular is difficult. I think they are a magnificent forum for us to learn about ourselves, yeah. And also to bring a higher perspective to, you know, it doesn't mean it's not painful, but part of where I've found peace in so many, admittedly, as I've transformed to, like, so many of my relationships fell away, including my family. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a lack of resonance. Yeah. You know, I don't need to tell myself a story about it. It doesn't have to necessarily be about me or anything wrong with them. It's just, we're beings of frequency, and, you know, one person's vibrating like this, another person's vibrating like this, and they're just not a match anymore. And, you know, where there is no resonance, there can be no relationship.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what a lot of people are experiencing. And, you know, there can be a grieving process associated with that, but it's also, you know, I'm just excited that the people that are coming into my life now, are a better match, yeah, you know, and those relations, same. Like, you create that space to call in the people who are going to be uplifting and expansive, yeah, and more fun.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. Honestly, like, I'm sure so many people are going through, I mean, obviously people are going through this every day, but I just have a feeling that more people are going through these kind of things where parts of your life are changing. I feel like a little bit like what you were just saying, if you've got baggage or if you've got things that aren't fitting, it's almost like the forces are building up. You could almost think of it like an airplane, and, like, you know, the atmospheric forces are building up on your body. If you have too much stuff, eventually it's just going to blow right off you. You're going to, if you resist it and you keep trying, it's going to keep pushing, that pressure is going to build, and eventually life is going to force you to change. It's whether or not, I guess, you recognize things in time to make that change a little bit more of a smooth transition. And I think that's what comes from wisdom and development over time and years of learning and going, okay, I recognize the signs very early now. Now I'm going to be okay with it. And that just comes from going through the ups and downs of life, right? We have to have that duality within this particular little slice of existence. Hot equals cold, cold equals hot, up equals down. You know, without either one of them, you wouldn't know what the other one is. So it seems like a necessary component of being on this particular plane of reality is that, yeah, there is an up and a down to life. And when you recognize that there's a moment in your life that is turbulent, that is problematic, that's the moment where you have to go inside, you have to self-examine as much as you can, and you have to try and find out, what is it exactly that I need to maybe let go of, or maybe I need to change about my life. And I really do feel like this is probably happening to a lot more people, that relations that are no longer serving you, and you know, situations that are no longer serving you, are, you're beginning to transition out of them, and they're probably feeling very turbulent and probably feeling like intense situations. But for me, you know, to just kind of take it to a personal level, had this whole situation with my friends, and it was, you know, an issue. Then I went off to Egypt, which felt like a really important trip for me, and I met amazing people who I've now maintain contact with, who've led me to even more opportunities, and doors have started opening up for me. And it's like, okay, so this is what it is. It's that next step in life. And it's like, right, wow, Jay, that was some painful stuff you had to go through, but I get it. We're moving through to the next stage. Had to shake off some stuff. Yeah. You know, and I think that's really what I feel grateful for more than anything else with my way of looking at life, is that it does allow me to feel more prepared for those situations. And of course, there's going to be something that just throws the rug underneath my feet. Like, I've got plenty of years left, hopefully, you know, so there's going to be challenges, but it's just about preparing for that. And again, I'll shut up in a second. But I like to look at the world in this way. You know, you think of your own individual life and the necessary pains and struggles that led to strength and development and wisdom and overcoming those things. And without those challenges, you wouldn't have really grown and developed. So you do have to overcome certain challenges. Extrapolate that out and look at life. My goodness, there's so many challenges happening right now. There's so many developments and, you know, tensions. And I feel that's good evidence for a transition. I feel that's good evidence for the positive coming in over the horizon. We've just maybe got to be patient a little bit and also proactive and do our own, you know, small effort to just raise the energy, raise the resonance, have conversations like this. This is my solution. This is your solution. We have these conversations. You have your website. We try and talk to people about these things. That's the way that I feel I can contribute, you know, in my own small way. And I don't think that we have to try and look at it as if, right, I've got to tackle the entire structure of global corruption. Right. I mean, that's just not gonna, you can't look at it in that sense as one individual. But what you can do is bring a little bit more love, a little bit more happiness, a little bit more resonance. And right. And that's what we're doing, I think, I hope.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's, I would say to people, it's like, you're not alone. It's like, these are tough times for everyone, but yeah. We are on the precipice of change. And, you know, as a little bit of hope, I guess, how I've experienced in my life is, if we think of it like a video game, you know, it's like you spend a while kind of at those lower levels and it's tough and you're building the skills, but, you know, eventually you reach a point where you can advance to the next level and you get good at that. And then you go up. And it's always hard, you know, the second you go up into that next level, it's always hard as you need to, it requires greater mastery.
Yeah.
But each level actually like gets easier in part because you've built so much skill, so much mastery, and you understand the game. You start understanding the game that you're playing and you know where things are going to come at you at the video game because there's only so much that really can. And so even though it feels hard, you know, sometimes like I take hope of like, you know, I'm playing at the higher levels of the game. It feels hard now, but eventually it's going to get easier. And it has, it really has in my life. The things that used to knock me down for months now are maybe a couple days. And it's like, okay,
yeah.
that was something, you know, but it's like, I'm able to bring my consciousness to it. And just the experience I have of going through some of these, and then it's like, I'm back to peace. I'm back to joy. I'm back to my center. And yeah, each little thing is like, it doesn't take as much to get my attention too. That's the other thing. It's like, so it's really worth doing this work, you know, and I don't even want to call it work because it's like, that's not what it is. It's growth. It's expansion. It's coming into freedom and peace. And, you know, it's like, it's not a race and everyone goes at their own pace. But I know for myself, it's like, once you're on the other side of something, you'll realize like, you wish you would have let go of what was slowing you down so much sooner. It's like, oh, if I had known it was going to be like this, why would I have, you know, clung to that?
this is true. I mean, it's, you know, to an extent, it is work because of our society. I mean, myself as an example, I mean, I've had contact situations. I've done that kind of stuff. I struggle to stay dedicated to meditation. Like meditation, I try and do it as often as I can, but I too often find myself just not getting into that state. Too often find myself sitting at 2 a.m. on the laptop, you know, and disciplining the mind is a difficult one. It's a hard one to do. And I think that our society is constantly trying to distract you. So it is a bit of work, I think, especially if you've got a very busy life, if you've got a job and a house and, you know, kids and all of the busy parts of life coming at you. It's not necessarily, I suppose, it's easy to make excuses, at least. That's certainly true. It's easier to make excuses, but I think most people can set aside 10 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes to have a little bit of time in their mind with themselves. But it's one of those things that we're just not really encouraged to do, especially in the West, you know, in the Western, and that's not a new thing. I mean, we've really just not embraced that kind of stuff for a long, long time, not since our paganistic roots and the ancestors' ancestors going way back. So these are things that are innate to the human being. Like, these are natural abilities and natural ways to connect with consciousness, but we've been restricted. And I feel like we're now breaking out of those restrictions in different ways. One of those is actually the psychedelics. I think the psychedelic research, that is one of those areas, different sector. It's like we were saying with the contact and then, you know, psychedelics and even quantum mechanics. And there are different areas where the same message or the same kind of realizations are coming up through each one of those channels. They just happen to be operating in different areas of our kind of societal infrastructure. One of them might be in medicine, might be in physics, and one might be in metaphysics, you know. So it all feels like it's coming to a head. It all feels like it's coming to some sort of conclusionary point. And I think that, like we were saying, all we can really do is just recommend and encourage people to open up their mind a little bit to these concepts, and especially when it comes to contact, especially because right now the way in which the UFO subject's being addressed primarily is through this whole national security and threat mitigation and, you know, national airspace and sovereignty over our land, and it's all very war games language. And I feel like for a while I was, and maybe still a little bit, like for a while I was like, oh, it's just the bureaucratic language they need to use. Obviously, you can't be going into the DOD and saying that these are our space brothers and we need to start communicating. Like, they're not going to take it seriously. So, you know, you have to kind of go in there and be like, listen, there's a real issue. We've got, you know, our airspace is being invaded, blah, 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 all of that. I still feel like that could be a component of it, but I also feel like we desperately need to move away from this whole thing of just labeling it as a threat. It's a big universe out there. I'm sure there are things that are, you know, if not malevolent, at least not necessarily things we want to be meeting or finding, because life is represent of the up and the down, like we were saying. So I'm sure there's, you know, negative entities, negative aspects of energy that's in its own evolutionary process a little bit further down the spiral than even we are. And so I think we still have to be guarded, right? But I really feel right now this strong sense that I need to try and do what I can in my little corner to add to that dialogue of, look, it's not just this whole threat thing and this government thing and this military industrial complex thing. And, you know, it's available to you through this type of research and through these types of practices is an experience that could really open your mind. And that to me is a way more profound and important aspect of this than national security. And like, who trusts the government? Why, like, who trusts the government? Like, the governments, especially now, are so transparently corrupted to the core and absolute, inadequate for purpose and completely unfit in the West and in every part of the world, to be honest. Yeah. But especially when you look at our countries, the UK, complete train wreck, America, complete train wreck. No offense, guys, but it is, you know, and you just get to this point where it's like, well, why am I going to trust them on this really fundamentally disruptive and historically kept secret issue? They're not going to be transparent about it. They're not going to talk about it in an honest way. It's going to be a drip, drip, drip. And if you want to have that, that's fine. But I would much rather kind of skip the queue and start actually having some sort of relationship and communication and some sort of interaction with these things. And people are afraid of that. And the last thing I'll say, and I'll lead it into a question for you, is people are afraid of that. What do you think about that? What do you think about, I had a lot of comments from people. I expected it. This is a dangerous thing. You're opening yourself up to manipulation. How can you possibly trust what these things are if you're not sure what they truly are in their origin? So what's your response to people that feel that this is a dangerous thing to be engaging in?
Well, I mean, I do agree with you that there's, you know, there's different energies with different agendas out there. And so I would never recommend to someone just like, you know, the Ouija board version of just like opening yourself up of like, who wants to come in? Mm. Not because I think there's anything looking to like necessarily attack, but it's where are you in your frequency? Because that's ultimately what's going to determine the experience that you're going to have. So I do take issue with people who say to me, like, you know, we're not going to hear from you. They're going to come get you, or you don't know what you're doing. You know, you're interacting with demons. And it's kind of like, I understand that that's where you're coming from, but, you know, you're not a part of my experience. And so it's like, I don't try to tell you what your experience is, you know, you have no way of gauging mine. And so, so that part doesn't resonate with me, but, you know, I don't think this is something to be afraid of. I think the vast majority of beings that are here to be of assistance to us, are come with great love. And the best way to have a loving experience with it is to approach it with love yourself, as you were kind of talking about in your video. So, you know, if you approach it with fear, I mean, it's just like anything in life. It's like if you are going on a trip and you think it's going to suck and like you really don't want to go, you're probably going to have a bad time. You know, your luggage will get lost or you just like won't have fun. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. You know, if you go out there thinking it's going to be scary and it's demonic, like don't be surprised if that's your, you know, if that's the experience you have, not even necessarily because that's what's happening, if there's any kind of objective reality, but that's the filter that you're bringing to it.
Yeah, I think they don't. I think to a certain extent, at least maybe some of those types of people might be just underestimating their own ability to set an intention and for that to be a powerful thing, for you to actually have like an emotional grounding and to believe that that's strong enough to inhibit any sort of negative experience. Like, I truly just do not believe when I'm out there doing it that I'm going to have a negative experience. I'm like, no, I'm in a completely positive state. I'm asking for things that are on that level or above it, only on this level or above it, nothing below it. And I trust that that process is going to yield that kind of result. And it's never given me a negative experience. So I think that maybe some people just doubt their own power. Just they just don't believe that there is that capability within them yet. And I think that's something that you need to realize, is that as an energetic being, both on a spiritual level and on a physical level, as an energetic biocomputational system, you're a powerful thing. You're a powerful thing. And the output of your resonance dictates what life reflects back to you. And so if you're going to, you know, reflect that positive light, it's going to shine that right back at you. And I truly think that's what you're getting when you have these successful contact scenarios. So I mean, I, you know, yeah, I'm guarded against just kind of encouraging people like, yeah, go out there and just, you know, fire your mind off. But that's why I do tell people to take it seriously and to, you know, ground yourself in that state and to make sure you are approaching it from that state. But I think the ones that are afraid just don't feel that that's going to make a difference. Like, you know, they're just like, oh, I don't think Jay's right. I think that you're still going to get manipulated, even if you're coming from that point. And, you know, I'll tell you, folks, if they're manipulating me, all they've manipulated me into is having great opportunities, waking my mind up, embracing life, embracing love, embracing my own immortality. So, I mean, it's a really weird trickster, because it's definitely putting me down a path that I'm grateful for, you know?
Yeah. Well, and people can bring a victim mentality to anything, you know, and
that's especially these days.
Yeah. And so that's ultimately sort of what I've in my spending time with myself to get beyond, is like the fear of anything really. And the idea that I'm a victim, it's like, those are some of the ideas that just have to fall away in higher consciousness. You're either a creator or you're not.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're either responsible for everything in your life or you're not. And so these people who suggest that I'm going to find myself, you know, the unwitting victim of a situation I'm unprepared to handle, it doesn't compute with my understanding of who I am as consciousness and how I see the universe is working through frequency, resonance, amplitude. And it doesn't, it's not to say that I won't, you know, I'm never surprised by something that doesn't go my way, but the idea that I'm going to be like hurt, or something, like, it just, it's really far from my experience. And I've also said, though, I have put out there, I'm like, you know, if there are negative entities, I don't think I'm a match for them, but it's like, if there needs to be someone to go like hologram to hologram with, it's like, I'm not afraid of them either, you know? And why it's like, it's like, all right, you know, you decided you want to show up. I show up as human form. You decide you want to show up as some like giant scaly lizard, like, nice costume. You know, we're all still source. We're all still energy. Like,
oh man, you're braver than me.
I mean, I'm not saying
I'm like, oh my God,
I want that, but you know, there may come a day when it's like we have to confront some of these instances that have been here. And so I don't have like a hero complex around it. I just assume not do that. But, you know, it was just part of me feeling comfortable of like, I can handle whatever comes.
Yeah.
You know, and if there is a time to stand up for the human race, like, you know.
Now is certainly the time for it. Yeah, but we need people like this in greater numbers, which is why I wanted to get you on. You know, I mean, I like doing the talks with, you know, the government guys and program mm-hmm. guys. It's fun and it's good and it's cool to get into that stuff. But you and me both know that there is just this whole other aspect to this subject, yeah. and so many other people are sitting there patiently waiting for things like this to be talked about. I will admit, did you watch the Gary Nolan interview, Tucker Carlson?
I did.
Ooh, like there was some stuff dropped in that. I mean, yeah. not all of it necessarily positive towards the phenomenon, but there was, like, you know, some pretty intensely disruptive ideas thrown out in that conversation.
Yeah, I watched that last night as I was cooking dinner, so it didn't have like my full attention, but yeah, listening, there were some things that jumped out of even just the more people with that kind of credibility in the yeah. scientific field than to say this is real and to suggest that there are materials and just to put into the collective consciousness, like exactly. this is real. These are the consensus is that these are off world, mm-hmm. you know, materials. It was like, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, I don't want to sound like I'm over exaggerating, but I truly think that that was the most important interview that's dropped since like the whole 2017 narrative kicked off, because like you said, it introduced so many concepts into the collective conscious that will actually streamline the introduction of things like this whole idea of consciousness being a field, that there is an intelligence that can respond to it. So people are getting more open to it. I guess maybe that's to a certain extent why I felt driven to start talking about this more, is like, right now we're entering into a step up in the discussion. And I do want to see things like crash retrievals being talked about. The Admiral Wilson documents are starting to come up again, which is good. And that would be interesting if anything actually manages to get taken out of the black labyrinth of projects and special access programs in the US government. But for me, the whole concept that this is related to signals and intentions and abilities that humans have natural to them, and that there is an intelligence that responds to this, that's the game changer. That's the one that I think would actually wake people up on a level that would change the state of play, maybe even on a global scale.
Yeah. And I think we're almost there. I agree with you. I feel like we're on the cusp of a tipping point, and just like how that works, it's going to be really fast. I think once this sort of reaches a critical mass yeah. in our minds and in our experience, and especially if there's a catalyzing event, like, you know, either some crystal clear footage or just a mass sighting, like another Phoenix Lights kind of right. thing, that I think this is going to enter our collective very quickly and be disruptive, honestly. But part of what I love that there's people like you with these podcasts is there needs to be an alternative place for people to go to have conversations about this, because like you said, I mean, do we really want the media brokering this conversation or the government to have this be like, I think that it's already sort of out of their hands. So I hope, like, I would love, you know, I am expecting some sort of major event. I don't know when, I don't know what, I think it involves spaceships, but I do think that there will be some kind of catalyzing event, and I would love, you know, whether it's the news or the internet, I would love for it to be voices like yours and other people, maybe mine, instead of the Lou Elizondos and the Christopher Mellons. And not that they don't have anything to contribute, but it's like, we need to broaden.
We need to just take it outside of government talk and government yeah. speak. And yeah, no, I agree. You know, yeah. we need to, this is not the kind of subject that does well under bureaucracy. You know, it needs to yeah. just be openly discussed, openly explored. And I think we're getting to that point, but you know what, this has been a really good conversation, Carolyn. It's always nice to get on and have a talk with you about these kind of subjects. Likewise. Because we have such similar ways of looking at it. And I think that we flow really well on these types of ideas. And by the way, for everyone listening, links to Carolyn's work will be in the description box below for her new website. So make sure you check all of that out and give support to her. But thank you so much for coming on for a talk.
Well, thank you so much. I had a wonderful time.
Like I said, this is like my favorite stuff to talk about. So anytime.